a special interview with someone active for the cause of liberty. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, my Vice Chairman, fellow analyst, and good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Of course, we're back by the miracle of Skype again, since we're about 120 miles apart today. So if you hear any little glitchy things, it's because we're doing this by telephone over the internet rather than by face-to-face in the studio.
Well, Chuck, you know, we actually triangulate because I believe that it's probably about that far away for our special guest, too, who I think is also Skyping as well. So we have a three-way Skype going today. But we wanted to do this, ladies and gentlemen, because we wanted to introduce you to somebody who is fairly unassuming in her own right, but whose efforts over the last about two and a half years have resulted in an explosion of people in the state of Ohio and elsewhere, I might add, who are learning how to use the United States Constitution the way it was intended. Our special guest today is Ricky Pepin. Ricky is a good friend of both mine and Chuck's, and Ricky, I'll just let you kind of explain a little bit of your background and how you got involved with Institute on the Constitution.
Okay. Actually, I almost consider myself one of the founding mothers of this organization because I heard about it 15 years ago when I was attending a conference in Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. How appropriate is that, right, where the Pilgrims came in? And John Eidsmo was teaching this class at a conference that I was going to. And when I saw the class, it was one of those moments when my heart was about ready to beat out of my chest because I knew that I not only had to take the class, but I had to learn how to lead it as well. And I really didn't know why, but it was very evident to me that the Holy Spirit was pounding inside and letting me know that. And so I took the course, took the materials home, and diligently made it available to homeschool groups, churches, whatever, and received a very ho-hum response, to put it bluntly. You know, for the next 13 years, I would lead a class of about 20 people every other year. And all of a sudden, fast forward to July the 4th, 2009, and I got invited to speak at a Springfield, Ohio Tea Party gathering. The talk was called, Why Do You Need to Know the Constitution? And after that talk was given, I was immediately surrounded by 14 people who said, we want to take that class. And the difference this time was that none of them knew one another. They weren't from the same church. They weren't from the same homeschool group. And when we started our first class, we had 35 people registered, which was more than we'd ever had before. Well, after only one class, they were so excited, they went and talked to their friends. And the next class, we had 85 more people that wanted to take it. I had never seen anything like that, and the rest, as they say, is pretty much history. From that, we birthed five more classes, and at that point, I realized I needed help. I couldn't do this alone, and I actually put together some leadership training to teach people how to lead the Constitution classes. And in the last 2.5 years, as you said, instead of graduating 20 people, we have graduated probably upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 people, and raised up about 100 leaders to do the same. So it's been quite an experience.
Well, Ricky, you know, one of the things that this program, Institute on the Constitution, has been around since John Eidsmo did the presentation back in about 1993. So here we are looking at almost 20 years later, but it's only been in the last couple of years that there's been somewhat of, what you could call a renaissance, or what we'd like to call a reformation.
There you go.
In the interest level in this particular course. Honestly, and, you know, and we've talked to Pastor David Whitney, who is the executive director of Institute on the Constitution in Maryland. And honestly, they all point to you, Ricky, that you're the spark plug. It was what you did with IOTC and what you particularly added to it that has created such a demand in Tea Party groups and church groups and homeschool groups and those who are engaged in liberty, who are those who see what's going on in our culture and say, something's wrong and we've got to fix it and I think we've got the tools, but I'm just not sure. What did you do differently than what had been done for the last 15 years prior to that, specifically?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. That is a key component. What I noticed even after we graduated those first 100 people when it started to explode was we had a little graduation and a lunch afterwards. And just in discussion with those people, I realized that even though they graduated from this 12-week course, they still did not have a grasp of the basic concepts of, you know, the jurisdictional boundaries of government, you know, that there's family, self, and church in addition to civil government, and that each of them has very specific boundaries. They still didn't understand that Roe v. Wade is not the law of the land because the court doesn't make law, etc. And so I actually went to God again and prayed, you know, what can we do to bridge that gap? And he brought to mind the method of education that I used with my own children when I homeschooled them for a season called the principle approach, which is what the founding fathers used, that uses definitions from Webster's 1828 dictionary, seven biblical principles, and leading questions that help people to research out the truth in any year. So I incorporated that principle approach method into these Constitution classes, because John Eidsmoe was doing a wonderful job of teaching people about the Constitution, but they needed to learn how to use the Constitution. And so I put these add-ons in there, and I called it Putting Feet, that's F-E-E-T, Putting Feet on the ILCC. And that's exactly what it did, because all of a sudden the people that were graduating were not just learning about the Constitution, but they were starting to go to their city council meetings, and not just go to them, but instead of being angry about what they were hearing but not knowing what to do about it, they were recognizing, oh, that's unconstitutional, oh, that violates property rights, oh, you can't do that, you don't have the authority to do that. And they were starting to make changes, speak up, and get involved. And so it's been really exciting to see what happens when you not only learn what it is, but how to use it.
Okay, you're right, and I think that's something that Chuck and I both have found as we've been teaching these classes, is that it goes from being black on white, a lot of reading to do, and an esoteric exercise, and I'm not sure how to read this old document, mm-hmm. to, wow, this thing has so much to say about where we are today and why we're here.
Exactly.
And we can use this to get back to the framework that our founders intended for this country.
Exactly.
And Chuck, is that what you find when you do teaching as well?
Oh, absolutely. When you use Recky's technique of actually putting application, putting feet to it, as she says, it really just adds an entirely new dimension to the class, and people walk away and begin to think actively about what it is that they're doing. And that's the key, is to make them think actively. It's really easy to sit there and just absorb a bunch of information, as you said, learn about the Constitution. What it's not so easy to do and what requires the work is to think about how to use the Constitution. And that's the beauty of what you've done to this course.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, Recky, like I said, you know, you went from just doing this kind of, you came back from talking with John Eidsmoe and seeing him do this, and you started doing it among your homeschool groups. At what point did you realize, you had mentioned that people were coming up to you at a Tea Party event, that this was something that you needed help with, that one person can't do all this alone?
Actually, after those first two classes of the 35 and then the 85, which we had more than 100 graduates, and already from those groups, five more groups wanted to start. And I have a life, you know, apart from and so I knew something had to give, and that was, so I just threw together some materials and taught probably the first time around the leadership training, probably had, I think, maybe about 20 people came to that, which was phenomenal to me, because that was as big as the classes used to be, let alone people stepping up to the plate to learn how to lead it. Well, it was kind of a throw it together, just, you know, six pages of, okay, here's how you do this. And they were kind of looking at me like they were glad, but they were also kind of overwhelmed. And so another 6 months or so went by, and we had graduated over, I think, 500 people and had another leadership class. Well, 50 people came to that, and I realized I've got to make this, you know, more detailed so that they can follow it. So a friend of mine sat down with me, Julie Kemp, has been one of my most valuable comrades in this, and we sat down together and wrote an entire teacher's manual for the principal approach add-on, so people can literally just read off the page if they want to see how this incorporates into it. And obviously the folks back at the Institute on the Constitution in Maryland thought it was a good idea, because, as you know, they flew me back there and videotaped. We did a DVD training as well that accompanies that. And so when people buy their host kits now, my suggestion is, or my training method is, that I tell them they also need to buy my teacher's manual, the feet manual, as well as that DVD, so that they are equipped to not just teach what it is, but how to use it. And Barry, at this last leadership training that we had here, there were 50 people that came to the leadership training. That's 50, not 15. 50 people came to the leadership training, and we're just basically shooting out all over Ohio now. We're no longer confined to the Southwest. Well, and as you said, too, I've trained some people on the phone, you know, Washington State, Nebraska, Tennessee, Minnesota, and Texas, actually, the Oak Initiative people, which is their version of the Liberty Groups, actually flew me out there and had me do training of, you know, giving the talk, why do you need to know the Constitution? That was an interesting story, too, because that's a 30-minute talk, and it hopes to get people signed up to take the class. And then we followed that with letting people know that there was going to be an intensive training for anybody who would be interested in leading the class then. Well, characteristically, when I do that here, we get about 10% of the graduates will come to the leadership training. And so I was told that there were probably going to be about 50 or 60 people coming to that presentation in Texas. So when I flew out there, I took 6 leadership manuals with me, thinking that would be plenty sufficient. And I gave that 30-minute talk about why do you need to know the Constitution to those 50 or 60 people. We took a 10-minute break and advised them, okay, thank you for coming. Now the real rubber meets the road. Only those who are interested in teaching, please stay for the next 2 hours, which is going to make for a very intense and long night. Well, after that 10-minute break, to my amazement, 5 or 6 people left. It wasn't that many stayed. That many, 10% of them went home. And I was sitting there looking at 50 people that wanted to learn how to lead this class, and I'd only brought 6 manuals with me. So it was kind of a nice problem to have, but it's just amazing what's happening across this country.
And let's make it clear, you're not exactly making money hand over fist on your video and your...
No, I'm not. But my expenses are being met. You know, if people want me to come out, they got to pay my plane ticket to get me there. But yes, you're right. This is pretty much a volunteer effort. I just want my expenses met.
That's the beauty of this thing. There's nothing wrong with making a profit.
No.
But the fact is, everybody here involved in IOTC, for the most part, is really interested in getting the word out.
Exactly.
We've been a little slightly criticized because we charge $60 for our class, mm-hmm. but people don't realize, A, that's $5 a class because there's 12 classes, and B, you start out with, the way we teach it, you start out with, I think, what, 4 or 5 books to add to your library, your Liberty library.
Well, not only that, but they need to think about what this compares to, because this is a college-level course. And you tell me a 12-week course you can take for $60.
Yeah. Aren't too many of those left, as I have a 21-year-old daughter in college, mm-hmm. and she's paying her own way, and they don't cost $60.
That's right.
And not even several multiples of $60.
Ricky, I've just got one quick question to ask you before we wrap up today. And if somebody were to ask you, what is the most important thing that someone who's taking IOTC can learn from the class, what would you say it would be? I mean, there are a lot of different things, from history to the technical aspects to what's happening in our culture now. What in the base is the most important thing that people can learn about from taking IOTC?
Well, my answer is going to be, it's going to be for those that are taking the IOTC with using the principal approach add-ons, because I honestly believe with my whole heart that the most important thing that we're teaching is to teach people how to think for themselves again from that biblical perspective. If you can begin to learn how to think and reason using this principal approach method, you are going to be able to see through headlines, to see through what the politicians are saying, and cut right to the chase and find the heart of the matter. So it's learning to think for yourself again from the right foundation.
Very good. You know, that's something that we've always said, too. I think on the next segment of this tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit about how we have incorporated this approach into Camp American, and that you've you've been involved in Camp American as well. So I would say, since we're almost out of time, that I'm going to sign off and say, be with us tomorrow for yet another Principles and Policy.